From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, The Passover at Gilgal, Feasting on Christ, part of a series of studies in the book of Joshua. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, by C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 29. Happy art thou, O Israel! Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? He who affirms that Christianity makes men miserable is himself an utter stranger to it. It were strange indeed if it made us wretched, for see to what a position it exalts us. It makes us sons of God. Suppose you that God will give all the happiness to his enemies, and reserve all the mourning for his own family? Shall his foes have mirth and joy, and shall his home-born children inherit sorrow and wretchedness? Shall the sinner who has no part in Christ call himself rich in happiness, and shall we go mourning as if we were penniless beggars? No. We will rejoice in the Lord always, and glory in our inheritance. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The rod of chastisement must rest upon us in our measure, but it worketh for us the comfortable fruits of righteousness. And therefore, by the aid of the divine Comforter, we, the people saved of the Lord, will joy in the God of our salvation. We are married unto Christ. And shall our great bridegroom permit his spouse to linger in constant grief? Our hearts are knit unto him. We are his members, and though for a while we may suffer as our head once suffered, yet we are even now blessed with heavenly blessings in him. We have the earnest of our inheritance in the comforts of the Spirit, which are neither few nor small. Heritors of joy forever, we have foretastes of our portion. There are streaks of the light of joy to herald our eternal sunrising. Our riches are beyond the sea. Our city with firm foundations lies on the other side of the river. Gleams of glory from the spirit world cheer our hearts and urge us onward. Truly is it said of us, Happy art thou, O Israel! Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord?
Joy, hallelujah.
indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, you may contact us by phone if you wish at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Hayward Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Hayward Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Please note that because of the increased cost of international postage, we are unable to mail materials outside the continental United States. The children of Israel were encamped inside the land of Canaan, the promised land. No doubt they were impatient to begin the conquest of the land. But first, there had to be spiritual preparation. First of all, there was the reinstitution of the rite of circumcision, the covenant mark of the nation of Israel. Then, in verses 10 through 12 of chapter 5, we read of the resuming of the Passover feast, an observance the children of Israel had not kept since the first anniversary of their exodus from Egypt. Before the battle for the land of Canaan could begin, Israel had to be reminded of the relationship between their redemption from the bondage of Egypt and the possession of the promised land. As Dr. Cairns has demonstrated, the New Testament links Israel's reinstitution of the Passover feast with the believers feasting upon Christ crucified as the key to entering into all that the Savior has purchased for His people. For Israel, the resumption of the Passover feast was an act of testimony to what God had already done for them in Egypt. Similarly, the communion table reminds New Testament Christians of what Christ did for them at Calvary. Redemption has purchased for believers a rich inheritance of spiritual blessings. Now to continue this message, the Passover at Gilgal, feasting on Christ, here is Dr. Cairns.
Joshua's act proclaimed a great New Testament truth. It's this, that God's people enter into their possessions by experiencing the power of the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. They enter into their possessions by experiencing the power that is in Christ Jesus. Let me put that in a slightly simpler fashion. As they eat the Passover, they're picturing the believer feasting on Christ. And I trust that you see the meaning, therefore, that feasting on Christ crucified is the key to God's people entering into their possessions. Feasting on Christ, if you want it, comes before fighting for Christ, as the conquest of Canaan would signify. Feasting on Christ comes before getting into the full enjoyment of all that we have through Him. Feasting on Christ is the key to entering into and enjoying our possessions. Now that's the New Testament truth that Joshua's action demonstrates. It demonstrates it, I think, as we consider it in a threefold way. If you isolate the character of this action of Joshua's in three simple ways, I think you'll see how by this action he demonstrates the great New Testament truth of feasting on Christ to lead us into the possession of all our inheritance. First of all, let me say that Joshua's act was an act of testimony, and thereby it declared this truth. His act proclaimed what the Lord had already done in delivering Israel out of Egypt and in bringing them into the land of Canaan. Joshua's action is the Old Testament counterpart of our action, first when we sit at the communion table and we eat and drink in remembrance of Christ. The two Old Testament sacraments have their direct parallel in the New Testament. The sacrament of circumcision, according to Colossians 2, is the parallel of the sacrament of baptism. The sacrament of the Passover is, even by the very action of the Lord Jesus Christ on the last Passover night before His crucifixion, is the parallel of our eating and drinking at the Lord's table. So when Joshua sat down to eat this Passover with the children of Israel, what was he doing? He was proclaiming the very same thing that we proclaim when we sit and eat and drink at the communion table. And of course he's proclaiming the very same thing we proclaim in every other act of faith that appropriates Christ and His merit. In New Testament terms, again, let me put this very simply. In New Testament terms, Canaan comes because of Calvary. That is the great testimony of Joshua's action. Canaan comes because of Calvary. It did then. It does now. Canaan always comes because of Calvary. Now let's think of that. What is it telling us? It's telling us that redemption has purchased for us a rich inheritance. The Passover made this proclamation that God has done more than deliver His people out of Egypt. That was a marvelous and a mighty act. Throughout the Old Testament, the Lord constantly refers Israel back to that great and terrible act of the Lord whereby He delivered them out of Egypt by a terrible arm. My, He did a mighty work that day. But that was only a beginning. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23. And see the wording very carefully. He brought us out from thence, that He might bring us in. God led them out in order to lead them in. Now that's vital. Redemption by the blood of Christ is not merely a deliverance out of the Egypt of this world, its sin, its condemnation, and its curse. It is a redemption out of that and into a Canaan land of God's fullness, of God's blessing, of God's provision in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord not only delivers us from sin and hell, He delivers us to grace and glory. He not only keeps us out of the lake of fire, He brings us to the holy city. He not only brings us out of Adam, He puts us into Christ. However you look at the terminology of Scripture, the truth of the proclamation is always the same, that He has a vast and a rich possession for all whom He redeems by the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, that we could understand this. Oh, that God's people would live in the constant realization of it. When He redeems us by blood, it is to bring us into a rich inheritance. Ephesians 1 says in verse 3, He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And I again would, and here I repeat myself for the 100th or 500th time, I don't know, but it's worth repeating. I encourage Christians very frequently to go down the first chapter of Ephesians, verse by verse, and just think on every detail of the riches of God's spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Start away back in eternity. In Christ He chose us. There's a mystery. He didn't choose us because of who we were, because of our foreseen faith. He did not choose us because He knew what we, being a little better than other people, would do with the offer of the gospel. He did not choose us because of any righteousness or any merit. He chose us in Christ. In Christ. The old Scottish theology of William Cunningham is very true, that in the most fundamental sense, God only ever chose one man, and that man was the man Christ Jesus, and every other person in His elect is subsumed under the headship of Christ and is chosen in Him. God only ever justified one man, and that was the man Christ Jesus, and we are justified in Him, by Him, through Him, and because of Him. We must grasp this. What a blessing this is. Chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Predestinated in Christ. Our destiny settled by the sovereign determination of an all-wise and holy God. Predestined in Christ. Adopted in Christ to every right and privilege of the sons of God. To bear the name of a heavenly Father and to have every privilege of the sons of that Father. To have redemption through the blood that gives forgiveness of every sin. That gives us an entrance into the knowledge of the mystery of God's will. That gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit, the divine seal that says, "This one is mine. No power of earth or hell can ever claim him. No plan of the devil, no force of sin or sinners can ever take this one out of the hand of Christ." Sealed unto the day of redemption by the indwelling Spirit of the living God. I want to tell you, these are blessings. Blessings of incredible greatness. Blessings of indescribable worth. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, that God's people would begin to think along those lines. I was reading a number of testimonies last night from distraught people who called up a Christian biblical counselor, a man who would, in counseling, seek to bring people to the gospel and to the Word of God. And one person after another said, "Can you help?" One man said, "My wife was sent by her church to a Christian counselor. And he fed her so much psychology that he has told her now she has 30 different personalities. And our marriage is wrecked. Our home is wrecked. One story after another where these devil's emissaries, these wolves in sheep's clothing, have come in and they have filled the minds of God's people with the garbage of Freud and others of his ilk. They have led them into the crass notion that they are dominated by some unseen, intangible subconscious over which they have no control. When all the time the Scripture is saying, you have a rich inheritance in Christ. You are complete in Christ. You have all God's provision in Christ. Because redemption has purchased for us a great inheritance. Paul prayed for the Ephesians a little later in that first chapter. And again, I have often told you, memorize that prayer. Pray that prayer. Pray it for yourself. Pray it for your family. Pray it for your church. Pray it for God's people. Learn the prayer of Ephesians chapter 1 until it gets so ingrained in your being that it's part of you and it's the natural expression of your soul. But Paul prayed that they would know, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. The eyes of their heart would be enlightened that they might know. Know. That's one of the key words in the New Testament theology. That you might know. My people perish for lack of knowledge. It is ignorance that is slaying the people of God. It's ignorance that has princes living like paupers. Oh, that they might know. Paul gives them three things that they might know. And those three things are just the exposition from time through to eternity of the vast fullness of Christ's inheritance for His people. I am not going to even mention the three things because if I get to talking about them, we'll never get back to Joshua. Or this will be a long day for you. Let's learn this. God has not brought us out of Egypt to leave us in the wilderness. Now there's manna, as we see a little later, there's manna in the wilderness. For God is gracious to all whom He redeems out of Egypt. And even when our follies keep us short of the fullness of blessing, yet God ministers manna to us. But God never intended us to live from day to day in the wilderness. He intended us to get into Canaan. That's why He emphasizes throughout the New Testament the fullness of Christ. John 1:16, of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace, or grace upon grace. The idea of God giving us fullness. The psalmist had the same idea in the 68th Psalm when he said, He daily loadeth us with benefits. He loads us with benefits. He piles one benefit upon another benefit, and another. Of His fullness have all we received, and grace upon grace. Colossians 2, 9 and 10, to which I've made partial reference already. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him. And the words ye are complete are very, very closely related to the idea of fullness. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's a very big statement. What it is saying, I believe, is that in Christ, our mediator, dwells every communication of grace, every communication of God's favor and blessing, everything that was needed for the full accomplishment of His work, the giving of the Spirit without measure. All that fullness resides in Christ, and ye are filled full in Him.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.